One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
Hey, all right!
Yeah. Oh, amazing. My gosh! I can't believe I'm here.
Here we are, in the flesh, safely socially distant in the same room, recording the 1,000th overall broadcast of Four Center, a journey that began in October of 2015, is still going and still going strong. Joseph, this is pretty special.
This is great. I feel like we are safely socially distant, but I feel emotionally close to everyone. I hope you feel the same. This is so wonderful. We have had such a fun journey with Four Center, kind of really starting right before The Force Awakens came out and going through this whole thing. And then I think probably people listening to this 1,000th episode have a really interesting relationship to it because some of those people have been with us since the beginning. And then we get these new listeners who are in awe of you, Jennifer, in a different way than our old listeners. Because our old listeners are like, we miss Jennifer. And sometimes we get contacted by newer listeners who are like, who is this Jennifer that is always whispered of?
In lore. In Force Center lore.
Lurking like a Force ghost.
Yeah. Yeah, so so anybody who isn't caught up, the three of us really started this together, did it together for years. Jennifer, you went off to have a second Padawan, and then the times happened, the strange times happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've had your hands full.
Yeah.
A lot of Zoom school.
A lot of Zoom school. A lot of getting through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two wonderful Padawans now, full life. And always been part of the family, always part of the team, and always will be. You know, if you haven't, like, Joseph's so right. So many people have come on board, Rise of Skywalker, Mandalorian, Bad Batch now. And if you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to the Happy Beeps episodes, please do. Or even the Jedi Beat episodes early on, you'll get a good feel of what Jennifer brings to this team still.
A lot of weirdness. That's what I bring. I am so happy to be here with you guys, live, in person. It feels like coming home, you know, and to be able to talk Star Wars with two people I deeply care about, I admire, I'm inspired by. This is just, it's a treat.
It's a nice treat. That's a very nice treat.
Yeah, it's so great. It feels like, I think many people are experiencing this, where it feels very weird to be back to normal, but also it feels like kind of nothing has changed. It was a similar drive for me. I time traveled by going from the LA Basin to the LA Valley to talk Star Wars with Ken and Jennifer? This is just the way it is. So let's get into it, because we have limited time for this recording on our thousandth episode. So we're going to talk a little bit about the journey and kind of how we've changed from talking about Force Center. Jennifer, we're going to ask you some specific questions, because we would love to get your insights and updates. And then we're going to close with some fun, weird questions.
Excellent.
So let's dive in. Ken, I want to start with you.
Yep.
How do you feel like your view of Star Wars has evolved over 1,000 episodes? Wow.
Yeah, you could chart my growth. I definitely have grown. I've definitely matured, but also, I think, even in a stronger way, reconnecting to what made me love Star Wars at 7. So the emotional stuff, the spiritual stuff, and the cool sound effect stuff, it was always there. But I think as we've moved along and found new ways to get into Star Wars and take apart Star Wars and analyze it and celebrate it, I think my view of what it means to me is bigger and broader, but also very intimate and detailed, and just specific heartstrings. I'm trying to speak like a poet, but really what I'm saying is, I came into this being, yeah, it's something I love, something I talk about. You know, we can make some jokes about it and this and that, but I didn't just stay on the surface with it. I could stay on the surface of it.
Yeah.
And now I don't think I want to anymore. And with Force Center, we kind of purposely dig in a little bit, and so it pulled me in even deeper.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah, big, deep intimacy is a good thing to want out of Star Wars. I think I feel very similar. I love so many things about Star Wars, and there was a lot of things that I just really loved on the surface because they're fun and weird, and certain moments that really the depth of them spoke to me.
Yeah.
But I think having all these times, all this conversation, getting different perspectives from you two, getting different perspectives from listeners, I think made me really sort of drill down into what I really appreciated about Star Wars and try to understand it better. And I think it's really, I've been describing it this way. Star Wars has all these great tensions between different dualities. But to me, the one that's really been increased my enjoyment of is this tension between the absurd and the profound. And the way it is, like, George Lucas wanted to make a fun adventure serial because he liked those when he was a kid. Yeah. But then he also wanted them to be baked with, like, these big, meaningful ideas about destiny and fate and choices and found family and on and on and on, and all the big themes that we can talk about. But then really talking about those things and studying them has made me appreciate them even more. Like, I've gotten so much more out of the depth. I've gotten, like, so much life help out of, like, well, we just talked about this Jedi philosophy and really, you know, dove into, did the Jedi make the right choice in this instance? And then because we were talking about that this week, it helped me with the problem I was facing.
Yeah.
And said, I could try to handle it that way, and it helped me. And that's the kind of the profound side. And then on the absurd side, it's really made me balance out too of, like, we dig deep. So that means I also want to, like, take the time to just go, like, yeah, but the blasters sound cool too. And Boba Fett has knee darts, and that's awesome, and that's a joy of its own. And Jennifer, in particular, not that you don't go deep, but you have such a great perspective of enjoying the joy of the cute and the weird and the aesthetic, and bringing Star Wars into your life in a way that is aesthetic, of crafting, and not in any way am I saying like that's your only way, but the joy that you brought to that made me go like, oh yeah, it doesn't all have to be about what's the big idea, what's my opinion. It can just be surrounding yourself with joy. Mm. Yeah. And I really appreciate how much you highlighted that for me.
Thank you. I mean, for me, I was kind of like you, Ken, as a kid. Mm. I love Star Wars, but part of it was knowing a lot. It was proving my worth as a fan. You know, I wanted to know all the character names and the species and just kind of rattle it off. Yeah. And of course, I like the stories, of course, and the characters. I don't want to say it was surface level, but it was a part of my identity in a way that was like, because I felt like I was an outsider. It was like, this was my thing, right? Mm. Mm. And because of that, I think I experienced the prequels initially, like, this is not my Star Wars. And what you all have truly helped me understand is finding the joy in things that I may not understand initially. Mm. I had never even thought that potentially that the Jedi Council were wrong and that they in some ways failed Anakin. That thought had never crossed my mind. I just was like, I don't like the way this story is being told because it's not the way that I had experienced Star Wars with the original trilogy. Diving deeper, crawling into that nerd bubble, as you guys say, it really helped me gain a new appreciation for these stories, discovering new details and not just memorizing character names or, right, you know, what the Tauntaun biology is as a child.
You memorize the Tauntaun biology?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's, and that's valuable. That's valuable.
Yeah. You have to know that their guts are made of wet rice, right? I mean.
Right, right. And so, you know, that I'm just so grateful for that. And then, of course, expressing it in these arts and crafts, these way, I guess that's another part of it. I can be wrong. It's okay. I can make things that are not canon. It's all right. It's just about celebrating it and having fun with it.
That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, I Joseph's so right about cute is very important in Star Wars, and just your simple love of the Ewoks is something that transcended into my Star Wars fandom. I was never campaigning against them. In fact, I loved them. Jedi is the first one I saw in the theater. Loved them. That guy's wise, as I talk about all the time. It's my favorite Star Wars line, almost, in a way. It's probably said that more in my life than any other line. But I didn't appreciate them on a level. And I think, especially now since as you got out of the regular fold of a weekly broadcast with us, I'm the one who spends more time wondering about Chirpa and his life and Logray. And I definitely... tie that back to just your love of Jabba and the Ewoks and the creatures that you found yourself in.
Yes. Love it. I would not have been so incredibly excited to watch the Ewoks cartoon on Disney Plus if it were not for you.
Right?
Oh. It's just fascinating, weird stuff. Oh yeah, there's so much weirdness. That
so
first
weird
episode where they have a game that's throwing nuts, right?
Oh,
let's climb to the tree and hit each other with nuts.
Oh my gosh, there's just so much weird.
We can do a whole episode on that. We probably will at some point. But right now, I want to move on to, we're looking back not just on our relationship with Star Wars, but our relationship with doing this podcast together. Do you have, Jennifer, I want to start with you. Do you have like one specific concrete memory of actually recording a specific episode, or like when you kind of think of like the memory of all those episodes, is there anything that floats to mind?
I always loved when we would reconvene after watching a movie that had just come out, or Rogue One, or The Last Jedi, which was everyone had a lot of thoughts about that, right? Mm-hmm. Just a Solo even.
Yeah.
Coming together and being able just to nerd out, dissect. I had my page of notes. You guys had things that you had seen that I had missed. It was like, this to me is what being a fan is all about. It was like a childhood dream. And those moments... And you all listening to this wherever you are, car, home, work, and knowing that we're all in this experience together was so, so special. And it made Force Center such a special community for me and something that I've missed now that I'm home alone with my children.
You just have to experience it through the joy of your children.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. That is one of the strong ones of when there's like, not just like, let's break down the big ideas, did you like it or not, but like some specific hot button issue. Like, I really remember getting ready for Rogue One and going, what is everybody going to think about Tarkin's face? Can't wait to hear.
Yeah.
So that's a strong one for me. I think another like just very specific, concrete one, it's kind of a dual one, is very early recording when we were talking about Solo, long before we knew anything about it. And yeah, Jennifer, you were really not sure, which is totally totally fine. You
That's
were
a great question.
Great
man.
Voice for a lot of fans who are like, why do we need this? Why do we want this? All that stuff. And then Ken had seen it, but then we all ended up at a screening together at the ArcLight Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was a joyful experience. I had some great bonding moments with Ken because he knew that Lulilo Primark was going to be everything I wanted it to be. And we exchanged a little glance when Darth Maul came on and had a nod of like, yep, that works. So I had a moment with Ken, and then you were in a different theater downstairs.
Right.
And I remember coming down the stairs and like looking for you in like the ultimate test. The years had passed since that early podcast where you're like, I don't need Solo. Like, is she still going to feel that way? Because that's totally valid, and I'll be really interested to hear why. And then I just saw the look on your face that you're like, she liked it. It was great. And we all ran together and hugged. And it was like, that's a real moment that stands out in my mind.
That's like the reverse Jabba's moment where they're all being taken out to the sail barge, where it's like, that's the last mistake he'll ever make. It was like, we came together. We're like, that's the first movie we'll ever need. Like, I don't know the line, but you know, it just had the reverse joy of being.
It was like, how are we doing? Same as always. That good.
That good. Because it was a crowded ArcLight Cinemas, RIP ArcLight. Yeah, that's a great memory.
Yeah, that's a really strong one for me. How about you, Ken? What's a memory for you?
Yeah, for me, we all came to Ford Center from a lot of wonderful different things. Long careers, acting, theater, and comedy and whatnot. But Ford Center was something when we started in 2015, I felt that, and I still sometimes feel, if I'm being honest, that if I always see things in terms of a rock band, we've all been part of maybe more successful, famous rock bands, but Four Center's the one that I love playing the music the most with. And one of the first moments that I felt we got recognized, or not recognized just by fans, but we had a panel like LA Comic Con.
Yeah,
and we all three were there, and I think Mark Ellis might have been a guest, and we'd done some of those before, to be clear. But there was one particular one where I just felt like people are here for Four Center. They're not coming to see the dumb Jedi Council guy, me. They're not coming to, you know, because they saw someone else. They're coming because of Force Center. And that was, I remember driving home going, yeah, this is us. This is a thing. And we went to the Solo, Joseph and I went to the Solo Denny's event at El Capitan, which is, Joseph does a wonderful stand-up bit about it and everything. But I still have that press, Force Center podcast press lanyard, because it was the first time we had been recognized as a podcast to go to a press event.
Yeah.
And all the screenings we get to go to. And it's been a hard fight not to go behind the curtain to get you two on a press list that I happened to be on because I worked at another company. We couldn't get you on. It was frustrating. And it's frustrating. So that's led to you and I having a great moment with Rise of Skywalker where I'm bawling and Joseph puts his hand on my shoulder behind me. And but it was that first, that one LA Comic-Con panel where I was like, yeah, this band, our little jazz notes are being appreciated.
Yeah, I think it was a live recording of Star Wars Counseling. Ellis was there. Yes. It was really, really full. Those panels can be spotty, and I think some of it was definitely Force Center and people recognizing us, but also some of it was people really want Star Wars Counseling.
Yes.
There was a lot of grievances.
But there were a couple of fans who came up and was like, I would like a photo of the three of you.
Yeah.
Mm. And that was really, really nice, you know, and did give that like rock band feel.
Yeah, I still say it's. I mean, now it's like it is the only place I regularly talk Star Wars. But like, you know, we've all been on other shows or YouTube channels, and we have our own things we always will be doing. And anyways, yeah, it's fun for. I don't want to speak for YouTube, but it's just fun when it's kind of like, yeah, I bought the Four Center album.
I also want to say thank you to you two because I was always very scared to share my opinion just in general about things. As a, you know, another podcast episode about people pleasing, but basically, and it goes along to, you know, I wanted to always be right. I wanted to make sure that I got all my names right and all the characters, whatever. You guys were like, it's okay. It's all right. You're not going to jump on me and be like, no, that's a Chatter fan. It's not a Chatter fan, whatever, right? So it created a very safe space for me to be able to just be myself, just talk about Star Wars. You guys encouraged me to do Jedi Beat, Happy Beeps. I would have never done that on my own. I would have been too scared, but you guys are always so encouraging and supportive, and it really helped me blossom as not just like host, quote, unquote, but as a person to feeling comfortable sharing and that my voice was worthy. Mm. And that was, I'm so, so grateful. Even my husband's like, wow, the Four Center guys, they really helped you. I'm like, yes, maybe I did get some Star Wars counseling for myself along the way.
That's great. No, look, I've always said I wish I knew fans like you, meaning, you know, specifically young girls growing up in the 80s existed. I just was told they didn't. I wish I knew. You were out there. All of you were out there. It would have been a better decade.
You and my little Ewok. Yes.
Better decade for everybody. And speaking of better, I did want to acknowledge a part of what has kept us apart is obviously the strange and the difficult times. This is the first time Ken and I have been in a room together recording, in, you know, however, time has no meaning. What I wanted to ask is just how did Star Wars, any idea in Star Wars, help you through these really difficult, strange times? And I would say that we're still in difficult, strange times. So any current helping, this is not entirely a rear view mirror thing.
Right.
But Ken, how did any Star Wars philosophy kind of help you make it through the weird times?
I don't know if it's a specific philosophy on a bumper sticker, but going to the Qui-Gon, going to his knees and waiting, Yoda out in a desert or out in Dagobah, Kenobi in a desert. There's something about Jedi's ability to wait and to just quietly go within yourself and use that time wisely. That has been, it is weird to say in these last few years, and, you know, I've had friends that have lost people and businesses, and we've all suffered in our own ways. So it's been a bad time, but I've also had some great breakthroughs and personal successes in the last year, not just in terms of career stuff, but just like emotional changes and maturities and stuff. And a lot of it came because they're just like, well, we're here, you know, and while we're also worried about the world and people around us and empathy, which is important to Star Wars as well, and helping others, there was something of just like, I'm going to metaphorically drop to my knees and concentrate on what I am and who I am in this moment and feel myself in this moment. And I really did try to do that. You know, you don't always succeed.
I think that's just great philosophy of, like, when you're going through a difficult time, just wait for the laser gate to open.
Yeah. And then try not to get killed by Darth Maul. But,
I mean, that's always got a little bit of a darkness lingering there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, there's just so much in Star Wars that's very helpful of just, for me, the way to approach big problems in the world, that strong idea throughout Star Wars, but really in Phantom Menace of we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And when you're helping other people, you are helping... you're actually helping yourself, and that's so much of the symbiote circle idea. Much in Star Wars that is about focusing on what you can control and accepting what you can't. And I think everything you're talking about, Ken, so flows from that of just like patience and having to focus on being proactive about what you can do, but accepting that there's some things that are just going to change and you have to accept it and you have to find a way to move forward and not just be stuck or not be fixated like Anakin was on how could have I fixed it? How can I make sure a bad thing never happens? Like, well, bad things happen and we have to, you know, address them and accept them. Yeah. Right. So all that. But then also like almost a little bit more on both profound and absurd part of it. Honestly, just being able to truly be in exile like a Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, like I have since shaved and cut my hair, but just going full Jedi on my head.
Right.
Of like having that external, like I kind of wanted to just let the hair go and have the beard come in, partially just because but the other option is let my wife go crazy and see what happens with my hair. But it was just really a way to sort of externalize that we're going through something different.
Yeah.
And then for me, it was so much fun to just be like, wow, I look like my heroes in exile. That was just physically fun, and people were very nice about it. I'm like, yeah, you absolutely look like you made a big mistake as a Jedi.
I'm still the biggest fan of that look you had. I love it. In fact, the Force Center 1000th commemorative poster, we had a discussion about what you wanted to be captured in permanent memory, and we went with your Jedi look,
and I
love it. I'm such a fan of it.
Yeah, yeah, and it will come back. I'm sure I will have at least some personal reason to go into exile. But for you, Jennifer, what about Star Wars helped you?
I mean, I think about how we are all connected. Boy, we learned that real a lot last year, right? The choices that we make can affect other people, the importance of coming together for the greater good. But I think also what was interesting is that I was forced, literally forced, to step away from Star Wars in some sense. I could not watch the films, get sucked into the news or the minutia of it. I could not. And it was kind of, it was upsetting for me because that's my thing. But I had to help my kids who were also having their own difficult time having their community ripped away from them, right? So I had to put that on hold. What I discovered is it's okay. It was all right. There was part of me that was like afraid. I was like losing myself. It's like, no, this is just temporary. And the teachings would come out when I would try and help my eldest who's like really angry. I can't see my friends. I can't go to school. I was like, quiet your mind. I even showed her the scene with Darth Maul because she has not watched, she hasn't watched the prequels yet. I was like, look, this is what happens when you get too angry. she was a little traumatized. Like, this is bad choices. Do you see that? You don't want to make bad choices. But it really did help.
You used Darth Maul as like a motivational poster? Like,
I did.
Mr. Bad Choices, Darth Maul.
Yeah, and I was like, well, but then don't worry. He comes back, and it's a long story.
Do you want spider legs? Because this is how you get spider legs.
You'll get spider.
Yeah, and then she was fascinated with like going to cons because she found some of my old videos from Celebration and Comic-Con. And it was like something for her to look forward to. Oh, people like to dress up in these costumes. Like I like to dress up in costumes and they can express their fandoms in these ways. So it was a fun way to connect. So Star Wars seeped in through the dark times.
Yeah.
In a happy way.
Well, that's also a great, I think, a lesson that we all need as Star Wars fans, that you don't have to keep up with everything. Like, we can be a community and we can be connected and we can be excited to talk about the newest thing, but also we all have our personal relationships with Star Wars. And you don't need to be caught up to say, it means this to me.
Right.
You know, even if I haven't watched anything in 10 years, it still means this to me.
Right.
I think it's a powerful lesson in this wonderful explosion of comics and books. And we feel, Joseph, you and I kind of feel, with the comics, we're like, oh, man, we're in the deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's okay. Just fine. You can't keep up with everything necessarily. But we do want to catch up with you, Jennifer, so we got some specific questions for you. You talked about this a little bit. How is being a parent of two changing your view of Star Wars? Like you were talking a little bit about how you are using Star Wars to help teach your kids. But are you seeing Star Wars in a different way, seeing it through their eyes as you introduce them to it?
Yeah. I mean, George was right. Jar Jar is the key to all this. My daughter loves Jar Jar Binks, my eldest. It really was a way, because, I mean, I've shown her A New Hope, and she likes it, and she loves Leia. She's interested in the Ewoks, but there's something about the comedic timing of Jar Jar that just sent her over. She was into it, and then she was like mimicking Jar Jar's walk and the way he talks, and she just loved it. And I was like, all right, George, I see you. I get it now. I did not get it as a youngster, but now I get it. I just am so happy that there's so much more content coming from them that, I'll talk about it in a minute, but the, what is it, Star Wars Visions?
Yeah.
Things like that I'm going to be able to enjoy with them. Of course, choosing your destiny, following the right path. I'm always talking about that and using the specific examples as Darth Maul or Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker. Yeah, so it's been, but you know, I also have had to accept that my eldest is not into Star Wars as much anymore. And that is hard.
Oh, really?
I'm having to let go. It's okay if she's not embracing it like she used to. She's into Monster High. She's into Pokemon. She's into Minecraft. And I'm like, oh my God, what about Star Wars? Look, remember you used to really be into Jabba? And she's like, Mom, you know what she came to me the other day? Mom, why are you so into Star Wars?
Oh my.
I mean, talk about a lightsaber through the gut. I was just like, what? You know, your sister's named after Leia. Like, I mean, come on. But I was just okay. She just is wondering why I was dressed up as this crazy character with a bag over my head. I mean, I get it. So it's all right. I'm learning to let go.
Is she too young for this to be rebelling? Is she rebelling? Is Star Wars the constant?
No, she's rebelling. I think she is. They grow up so fast. She's going to be in first grade.
Oh, wow.
And she already is like, Mom, no, I can do it myself. Mom, I know. I'm like, what? What is this going to be when you're 13? Oh, my gosh. So
saying
right.
I know and not even quoting Star Wars when she does it. Come on.
Tell me about it, right? But it's in her DNA and comes out in little ways. I'm like, see, that's Star Wars.
That's Star Wars.
Just know that.
Mom, I'm a Babylon 5 fan now. So. Stargate.
Oh gosh,
that's fantastic!
Wow,
you've done everything right. You've done everything right, but you said those powerful words: let go, let it go.
Yeah,
let it go.
And is your 2-year old? What is that relationship like? Obviously, that's young.
Yeah, but she loves a Darth Vader's Little Princess books, Jeffrey Brown. Oh, she's obsessed with that. Right. Both of my girls were. All those books, Goodnight Darth Vader. Again, she also likes Jar Jar Binks when he gets a bonk on the head. All these things. She loves my action figures. She's always picking them up and like saying weird names that are incorrect. And I'm just like, no, it's not their name. But yeah, so she has fun with it too.
Okay.
I'll teach her. Don't worry.
When he gets a bonk on his head is my new favorite turn of phrase. So I wanted to ask you also about Mando season 2 in general, because that was such a big explosion of Star Wars opinions. We got a little bit. We reached out to you for some insights. Yes. You sent us a nice audio thing.
Yeah.
But there's so many big things that between Frog Lady, perhaps the most important part of Mando season 2 in some ways. But the return of Luke Skywalker, which continues to be a discussion. Ahsoka on live action. So we wanted to be sure to get your thoughts.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was like, what was my reaction? And I think it was challenging because of when it was released. Mm. And I think that my mindset was not so great. I think if I were to revisit it now, I would be in a better place emotionally and physically and stuff. So I'd like to go back. I had a lot of thoughts about the Frog Lady. I'm actually curious to hear this in person. Like, what do you guys think? Because I really struggled with the Frog Lady. I loved the Frog Lady. I squealed when I saw her. I was like, yes, love this. Why I love the Mandalorian. They take it back, the characters, the creatures. And then they set it up that these eggs are so precious to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm connected with her. I'm emotionally connected to her storyline. And then Grogu goes and eats them. And it becomes a running gag. And I just felt like first of all, it just was kind of upsetting to watch her eat her last eggs. We don't know how many she has or how many she can produce. But then it's like, I just felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel the same way? Am I overreaching? I don't know what this was.
No, I don't think so. I think where I'm personally went through where, this is why perspectives and conversations are important. And I remember a tweet thread you had sent out.
Oh, that's right.
That was very thoughtful. And you do the Qui-Gon, take a breath and do that. And I value that. But where, like, I watched it and laughed and I thought it was funny and this and that. And the next day you start to see what's going on. And it's easy to get exhausted by some Star Wars discourse, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to brush it all away. And I think being able to pause and just for a second consider your perspective as a mother.
Right.
Your perspective is just a different kind of fan, is important. And I it forced me, by the time, Joseph and I come to talk on air, we always make sure, hey, well, there's a hot button issue. How do we want to approach it? And we always kind of know generally what we're going to say, or at least how the respect we're going to try to put into the conversation and not, put our fist down on any tables and be like, hey, it was funny. Let it go. But it was important for me to have that reaction. Like, okay, of course I'd only see it in that way as a fun little bit. And of course, Grogu's going to eat that egg and to realize there's another side of the page to consider. And I think that's always why you've been valuable to Force Center, continue to be valuable in that sense. And just to see, okay, yeah, there's no part of me that's going to hold on to any kind of, let it go. It's just a joke. How can I do that when you're having those thoughts and reactions, which are real and genuine and come from a different perspective? I think that's where I came down on it now. I haven't watched it since it was released. I haven't watched season 2 at all since the season was released. That's not a comment on my views on season 2. Just haven't had time. I'm curious to watch it and see what I feel now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I loved Frog Lady. I love that whole episode. I love the amount of just one problem after another and the desperation of the situation for everybody. Yeah, and I think my knee-jerk reaction was, I totally agree, it was set up to have this real height of these eggs are super important, and that's what makes it both extra awful and extra funny at the same time. Mm. But that is an entirely a taste thing.
Right.
And I, for that particular issue, I think I was able to have the, like, I'm appreciating the comedy of it, and I like to analyze comedy. So for me, it's like, it, those things aren't fighting. That's on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I also 100% understand and respect that for other people, like, you're invested in this character and her need, and it feels like her need is being mocked. Mm-hmm. I totally understand that perspective. And I think I would have a lot more problems with it if that second episode didn't resolve it in seeing that enough eggs survived that she accomplished her goal, and then that Grogu was taught by her to start to understand the difference between the way he's seeing things is just everything in the galaxy is about fulfilling his need. You know, I think that's a part of it too, is that it's not an isolated thing. Mm-hmm. I think because I was able to dig into it thematically too, of like, this has been a part of Grogu.
Right.
Anything that he wants to put in his mouth initially, he's just like, I'm too young to have a moral compass. If I want to eat it, I gotta get it in my mouth.
Right.
It's from frogs to balls. It's going in my mouth. Anything I see that I want in my mouth, it's going there.
Right.
And so I think part of the empathy that I felt in that episode was toward Din being so unequipped to deal with that. Like, he gets the, like, I won't let anybody touch you. I'll kill anybody who tries to touch you, Grogu. I'll never be separate from you. I don't know how to teach you anything, Grogu. Who does? Oh, the frog lady in the next episode is the one who's able to teach him.
Right.
That's not food. That's a being who deserves respect. So, you know, there's some taste things for me, but also I think it's those two episodes together, I feel like they finish the conversation in a way that makes me more comfortable with it personally.
See, this is why I love coming here, because I needed to talk to you guys about it, because now I get it. Now my toddler went and marked up. I had worked hours on this lampshade for my eldest, making a cat face on it. And in 2 seconds, my toddler had a marker and she wrote all over the lampshade.
Oh.
And my daughter, eldest, was like, oh my gosh, no, mom, look what she did. And I was really upset, but how could I be mad at her? She doesn't understand. She's just turned two, right? I was like, no, you can't do that. But there was nothing malicious about it. I wouldn't laugh about it right now. Maybe, you know, 5 years from now, I'll laugh about it.
At a high school graduation speech, it's going to come into,
It's
right,
hilarious
exactly.
then.
Yeah. But the truth and the pain of it, right? That's where the comedy comes from.
But also, you know, I really echo what Ken says. It's so important to hear other opinions. Like, I want to be clear, like, that I'm sharing my opinion. I don't expect anybody to need to agree. I totally understand people coming from the perspective on something like that, of like, this is really personal for me, that has echoes of important life journeys of trying to have kids. And I you know, I totally get that and totally respect that.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, look, it's I don't think any of those creators on that team did it maliciously either, but it invites that conversation of the threading of the needles that need to happen these days when it's important to have to have that. And I understand that. I'll even some things that don't react for me in the Game of Thrones world somewhere, like, I didn't take it that way, but I have to realize, I didn't take it that way.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it isn't that way. It is for some people. Yeah, and it's all subjective.
Yeah.
But with the other issues, were you excited for Ahsoka? Were you excited for Luke? Did you go on a roller coaster emotional journey with them?
You know, Ahsoka, I go. Really hard for me.
Okay.
I really struggle because of Ashley Eckstein, who to me is Ahsoka Tano. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's really hard for me to separate. It's really hard for me to separate because I really have liked Rosario Dawson's. As an actor, and I it was hard for me to accept her as Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah,
I just saw Rosario Dawson. I don't know what it was, and I think maybe the her new series might change my mind. I just had a difficult time with Ahsoka.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a 1,000% fair reaction. I mean, it is. It especially. Ashley is such a forward brand ambassador for Ahsoka, the character, and it was hard to separate it, even if we understand the realities of the business or the frustrating realities of the business and, all those kind of things. I think at the end of the day, but that's one of the ones I specifically want to review, too, to see where I definitely enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it.
But I want to see real time.
But what about if there was, if it was a lesser-known actress? Right? I kind of feel like maybe that would have helped me put aside my alliance for, Ashley. It just, I think I would have been able to, just see it as Ahsoka Tano and not just as, S. Rosario Dawson with, face makeup and, I was really overanalyzing her performance, and I don't want to ever have to do that with actors, but there's usually a reason why, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes if they're too well-known of an actor, that's all I'm thinking about. That's so-and-so. Just being themselves in some way.
Yeah, I mean, for many reasons. I know we get excited as fans about the fan casting, and then excited when it pans out. And there's a real reality of the business in every way of names, because just everything is more difficult, and everybody wants everything to be safe. And the safest thing you can do is get a name. If you could have a key grip that was well known somehow by audiences, people would be like, we only hire famous key grips now, because it's just about safety. But also that means that you're kind of missing out on some of the classic Star Wars experiences of lesser known actors, right? That are a great opportunity for the actors, and then a great opportunity for us, the audience, of we don't have to separate anything out. It's just that's this character.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo. I was not a I wasn't a fan of his casting, but I just was like, oh, okay, the Anthony and Gruber, remember him?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, he looks like him. He can kind of do the impersonation.
Sounds like him,
Sounds like him, right? So, and I didn't want the movie anyways, as you guys know. And then when I saw him, because he's such a good actor, I had not really seen him before, and he made me believe he was Han Solo.
Yeah.
He got the details down of Harrison Ford as Han Solo so well. I mean, you can take frames, and I'm just like, that's Han Solo. He's that good of an actor. And that, to me, was, I think, one of the more successful castings for such a huge and well-known and loved character.
Right, because for you, you didn't have any specific, like, you know, he hadn't been in the public eye for you, like Rosario Dawson,
right,
for decades.
Yeah, and I used to love Rosario Dawson, always looking forward to seeing her on screen. And this time I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so for the triumvirate, Luke.
Oh, again, I don't know what it was. Maybe if I look at it now, I would be like, oh, yay. But I did not have a fist-pumping moment like I wanted to have. Because, again, I'm like, oh, this is the de-aging process, right? And it just took me out of it. I don't know. If it were to come out now, I think I would have been more ecstatic.
Yeah, it might have just been dealing with all the realities of the time.
Yeah, maybe. Because now I'm watching Manifest, and I'm giddy with delight when I watch that show, and that show's writing is a little questionable, right? So, of course I should be excited that Luke Skywalker is there to come and save the day. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think this might also just be, like, a part of your process, because you often talk about getting past whatever the surface thing is when it's something weird. Like, I remember you called in when Rise of Skywalker came out, and one of the first things you said was trying to get to the core of what you enjoyed about Leia and get past the truth of the way it was filmed, right?
Right.
And I think that just seems for you to be something where, like, you need to get past some of that, like, but here's the casting, but here's the process before you can connect with the emotional.
Exactly. And if they're able to do that with me immediately, then it's like my stamp of approval. Yes, they nailed it. But I think it's just like people in the business, being an actor, as you guys being writers, like you just are going to naturally view things in a specific way.
Yeah,
sure.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. And doing these podcasts, being so aware of the behind the scenes and, you know, I have to work so hard sometimes to turn off the, what's the discourse going to be and watch for myself instead of like, oh boy, I already know which person's going to be mad about this. I know which person's going to fight with that person. The only thing I really don't know is how many tweets will be in the thread. But and then I'm like, self, you're not watching for yourself.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Right.
Well, you know, the nice thing is, Jennifer, Star Wars doesn't go away like a fleet. It will remain, and you can always revisit it. Look at those prequels. I think our journey, you and I have maybe similar journey on the prequels, where I know Joseph early on, it was like definitely problems, but I was kind of here for more of it early, where you and I kind of, you know, all right, those, we had to pull out the DVDs or the VHS tapes of Phantom Menace and go back and find what we love and what can connect. And I think that's another lesson of Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I'd be really curious about the future, what you're excited for. The Disney Plus slate is so huge. Kenobi, Andor, Acolyte, Visions, Ahsoka, A Droid Story, and all the stuff they haven't announced yet that is working away. What are you excited for?
I'm excited for all of it. I just want the content. I'm going through these shows. Yeah. I need more shows to watch now that I have some time at night. I am looking forward to the most Star Wars Visions, because that one, my daughter Lucia, is the most excited. That was when I was just watching it for, you know, just to know. And she's like, what is that? I said, Star Wars. What is that character? And it was the bunny character. The bunny girl. I wrote it down because I couldn't remember. It was, I think it's Lopin Ocho. I'm saying Spanish. Ocho? That's not going to be right. Lopin Ocho short. Yeah. I don't know what that is. But anyways, she freaked out. And she's been asking me, when can I watch that? When is that coming out? I'm like, it's coming out soon, September, Disney Plus. But I'm really excited because she's really into anime. And so this is right up our alley that we're going to be able to experience together.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, we also, you know, if she's a Pokemon fan, that particularly looks like a Pokemon.
Oh, yes.
Charmander. What are they? What do you chase? Charmanders?
Charmanders. Right,
I've been in a car trying to catch a dragon once before. I don't know.
Yeah. So she's really excited about that. And I'm really excited to be able to share that with her. I wish that they were not just shorts. I wish that they were a little, I mean, I'm not sure how long they're going to be, but I want them to be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're.
I mean, but when you say, I need content, that's what everybody at Disney Plus, all the executives are saying too. They need content. So if this lands, it's already signs of them supporting it with putting out the book. Mm-hmm. There's a High Republic manga, which is, you know, not necessarily connected to Star Wars Visions, but still playing with a different perspective of storytelling. I think if Visions hits, there's a good chance that there'll be more.
Oh, I hope so. I'm so excited for that. Yeah, I mean, I'm just really into everything. Well, obviously, nobody's really going to the movie theaters right now anyways. But I need it to be streamable where I need all the episodes. I mean, I like the idea of watching week per week, right? Having that communal experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there's something about, okay, let's just watch one more episode. With my husband and I, it's like midnight. Just one more.
One more.
One more manifest. Come on.
Yeah, I can understand that. If it's late night, you've got everything else taken care of. Like, let's just binge it all.
Thrill. Yeah.
What I love about what you're saying, because you said earlier your daughter's slightly grown out of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Mom. Now look at this intersection that you guys are going to be at.
Oh,
she's like, a Pokemon Star Wars? And you're like, Star Wars. And now you're in. Back in. You're back in. You're back in.
And I'm explaining to her, well, this is actually the roots of Star Wars. You see, George Lucas was inspired. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. Bunny rabbit.
Exactly.
Well, when you can catch Star Wars bunnies in balls, like Pokemon, that'll be the glory day. So that's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Any other thoughts on the upcoming slate?
I haven't really been keeping up as much with like behind the scenes stuff, because that's always what gets me excited when you see like a paparazzi shot of maybe Ewan McGregor partially dressed at the craft service table. I'm like, yes, that gets me excited.
When I see Ewan McGregor eating some ham,
Oh man, that's by the gummy worms. Yeah, that gets me excited. Obviously, Andor, because I just love Diego Luna. There's just so much on the horizon, and it's kind of like I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting, because I know it's going to come. I'm going to be so excited. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up as much with the news. What is going on?
But everything and nothing. And really? I love that. I love that you're going to be able to enjoy a lot of these with a fresh perspective. And Joseph and I wouldn't trade, looking at the news every week for anything. We love it. I know we love it. Yeah. But like, there's something that you're going to get to experience when Acolyte comes out. You're going to be like, I have no idea.
Oh.
It's just Star Wars, and I love it.
Wait, Acolyte is from the
Leslie Hadlin.
Yes. What was it what's her name? Oh my gosh, Natasha Lyonne.
Russian Doll. Yeah.
Russian Doll was so good. Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Yeah. And it's fun to get the little bits and pieces and little interviews and that, but it's also fun to just go in with no expectations, no baggage. Just what's Andor up to? How are things going for him? A couple of years before Rogue One.
Right. Hope he's getting
probably not great.
Enjoy himself a little bit.
Yeah. any other big picture thoughts or anything that you've been dying to share about your Star Wars journey?
No, I just am thrilled to be able to talk about it and not have someone tell me to stop. this is great.
I understand. Well, then let's move on to our final section here. Just some fun Star Wars questions. We like having a sense of fun and whimsy here on Force Center. So, Ken, I want to start with you.
Yeah.
What kind of Jedi robes do we think Luke is having Grogu wear? Or does Grogu get to choose his own?
Look, I think Luke understands the value of choice, but also Luke, you say a lot. He values training. He values a little bit of that. And he's at a point in time where he's kind of reestablishing the order in his eyes, maybe, details notwithstanding here. But so I think he's got him in a classic brown robe. I think he's trying to start there.
Okay, start basic.
Maybe you'll get to choose maroon, maybe black. Luke's probably like, I got a black robe. I'm not Sith. It's good. But I think he wants to start the basics. Start the basics.
I would love it if Luke had to explain his aesthetic to Grogu. Look, I my dad and I have similar tastes. Fashion is in fact a refutation of the dark side. Like that you can wear black and not be evil. I just blend in with shadows.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think, Jennifer? What do you think the Grogu Jedi robe choice process is like?
I think he made the mistake of trying to empower Grogu. Let me give you some options of robes and pants you can choose. And guess what? Grogu picks things that are totally mismatched. Then Luke is stuck, and he's like, okay, you can wear that, like my two-year-old, wearing nightgowns and plaids and stripes. But I'm like, well, she feels like she has control, and she feels like she made that decision herself.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to let kids do sometimes.
Do you feel like your daughter and or Grogu make extra outrageous choices to demonstrate the amount of power? Like, are those genuine choices, or is like, because you've given me power, I'm going to demonstrate how much I have it by abusing it?
It's a little of both. They have very strong opinions. Can you imagine Grogu? I'm sure Grogu has very strong opinions about things. This is not an accurate voice. That one, just like my daughter.
No, that one, Mama. That's Grogu.
Luke.
Yeah, that's Grogu. Season 3 confirmed. Where's Din?
Yeah, I know. Sure, you don't want the neutral color? No, that one. Oh my gosh.
The bright orange that makes me an easy target. Luke's like, that's not a good idea. Grogu. We haven't worked on blocking blaster bolts. Yeah. You can't wear bright on orange. That's, ooh. Yeah. I'm really taken by the idea that somehow Luke would present all those robe choices, and somehow Grogu would have got his hands on like a bunch of Mandalorian armor.
Oh my gosh.
Be putting on the armor and they'd be like, that's great. That's a part of your heritage. That's not what we're doing right now. We are wearing common robes like farmers. We're not wearing armor because you're learning to defend yourself. I know it worked for your other dad to just stand there and let himself be shot because he had armor, but that's not the Jedi way to just stand in front of hail of blaster fire and let it bounce off you. We're not going to do that.
We're going to do that.
And then, like, in my mind, there's this comedy scene where, like, Grogu kind of accepts it, and then the next time he shows up, he's in the robes, but then as soon as he moves, you hear the clunk, clunk, clunk. You know, he's got the armor on underneath.
And a look. Grogu's just eating macaroons. Like, nothing's wrong. No, what are you talking about?
Take that armor off.
Yeah. Stealing from Luke's Jedi MREs there, just stealing breadsticks like he's Yoda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, we miss your perspective.
Yeah.
Such a great perspective of a mother, of a parent. That kid's going to go wild.
I'm so glad I'm not the parent of Grogu. That would be, oh my gosh, those powers. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, once he fully knows, I can just reach out and take anything I want.
Forget it.
So this is a fun question that is central to what we're doing right now. I want to know, Jennifer, I want to start with you. Which Star Wars character is the best and which is the worst podcast guest and why?
I think Obi-Wan's the worst.
Obi-Wan!
Shocking! Oh, I've missed being challenged like this.
Do you know why, though? Because I think he likes to hear himself talk because he has a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like intrigued by, oh, this sounds wonderful on this microphone, right? And then he might correct me. And he might think that he can do a better job as host as me. So that I don't like that. I don't want him on the podcast. I'm sorry.
I think you're right that he likes to throw things back at people. He likes to keep people off their game by saying, well, you know, if you were trying to interview Obi-Wan, he would be like, interesting. What do you think? I'm interviewing you, Obi-Wan.
It might make for a very interesting interview, though. You're right.
Yeah.
Best guest? Are we still on worst?
Best
guest? I don't know. I think about good duo would be like Anakin and Ahsoka. They'd be a great podcasting team.
Anakin and
Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
I would love it if they were doing something totally unimportant, like trying snacks or cereals and debating, like, is Lucky Charms better than Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah, how far they can force throw things, like a YouTube channel or some kind of thing, like a TikTok video.
Yeah, just force throwing melons across town. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Absolutely great. So Anakin and Ahsoka together?
Yeah, they'd be the best hosts, I think. But best guests, like maybe a Dexter Jetster, right? Because he has so many stories he could tell. He's naturally kind of funny. He just would be, he'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah. He seems like one of those people who's like met every famous person in the galaxy and has dirt on them.
Yeah, all the cheese may, as we would say.
I'll throw mine out so you can take the last one on this question, Ken. I I always go to Leia. I go to Leia for many things, but Leia by far, because whatever podcast it is, if it's like a real proper, like National Public Radio, give me a soundbite.
Yes.
Leia can put on diplomat hat and nail that. Yeah. If it is like an utter comedy, just like, you know, we need someone in the galaxy to play, you know, F. Mary. Leia can do that, right? No problem. Sure. And be snarky and fun about it. I feel bad saying worst, but Gonk Droid, I think, you know, because
a Gonk Droid or Gonky.
Gonky would be even worse because Gonky has personality and you want to know Gonky's journey, and Gonky can't express it in podcast form.
So true.
So painful. So true. Painful. Yeah. Ken, how about you?
I think worst, I have two thoughts, and similar to what you were saying about Obi-Wan, I think I could work with Obi-Wan, but I think C-3PO.
Oh.
Because especially if it was an interview, I think, you know, I think we all three realize the power of a good interview is for the host to just be like, yes, and yes, and your journey, and it's, you're the story. But if it was like a show where it was some punditry involved, like I was once on a show years ago, I won't say the person's name, but I clocked them at near 9 minutes without letting other people talk. And I went up to them and said, hey, you can't really do that. And they continued to, out of, oh gosh, I'll never do that again, and continue to do it. I think 3PO would be that.
Yes.
20-minute chunks of time. And we love a little monologue every now and then, but I think you'd be like, dude, you got to let us talk.
A monologue is great, but you know what else I think 3PO would do, which every once in a while has happened to me on podcasts where I ask people an emotional question about, I want to know how this affected you. And whatever the this is, they'll just start to give me the facts about it.
Yes.
And like, that's what 3PO would do. Like, how did you feel when you first met Luke? It's like, well, it was this star date. Like, nobody cares. We can Google that. How do you feel, droid?
So I think depending on the other one, I got to say, I think Return of the Jedi, New Republic era Luke Skywalker would be a bad interview.
Ooh.
I think bad interview. I think because he's going to kind of be like, well, I already answered the question. Maybe you don't know what the question really is. And I love Luke. I love that Battlefront 2 scene. But I'm looking at that era where you're just like, well, what is that? Well, but what does that mean? What do you mean? The answer is clear. You just have to close your mind and like, oh, Luke, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, he would answer in little bites of wisdom. Yeah. He couldn't get nothing else out of him.
Yeah. Leia's a great, especially General Leia. Mm. Like, there's that, maybe that Last Jedi era Leia where she's a, could be a little snarky, slapping Poe. That'd be good, that energy. But I got to tell you, I don't normally.
That's a good sound for a podcast.
I don't normally do these kind of shows, but my guy, Admiral Raddus, if you were to sit down and just have one of those long form, sometimes they get stuck on those shows on YouTube where you're watching and they're just dishing on people. I think Raddus would be like, well, let me tell you about Noah Jabel. You know who's great is Anton Marek, but I'll tell you what, who isn't great. And you just kind of, you would just pull the cord and let him go. Yeah. And you get clicks after clicks of just dirt.
The gold is if he has a problem with Akbar, right?
Akbar, fine. See, I'm from the Arctic regions. And what you have to understand about Arctic regions,
so I'm going with him.
Oh, that's amazing. Here's my final fun question. It is a classic. Ken, if you were a Star Wars action figure, what kind of accessories would you come with?
I mean, I definitely want the Crix mating pointer stick.
Oh yeah,
gotta have a pointer stick. But I would want I'd want one of those like overly aggressively sized rifles that come with some of the figures that don't really even in the movies or something. Like one of those add-ons from like for why does Poe have a jetpack?
Oh, like the non-canon cannons.
Yeah, I'd want something just like, why? How is that? Like, I don't know. I have it.
If you could have, if it was a figure of you and you could have accessories that are not Star Wars, but like you were dressed, you were like a scoundrel or a bounty hunter, whatever you wanted to be, would you have any real world accessories that you'd want to bring into the world of Star Wars?
We talked about this G.I. Joe figure on air before, and I remember I got some nice reactionary people agreeing on tweets. The character Mainframe, that computer expert who comes with the portable, with the floppy disk drive, the computer that's like an old school MacBook, but it's an 85. I would love to have that. I've been watching again a lot of Bond, and I'm actually restarting it again because Grace has never seen the Daniel Craig Bonds. And I was the bank, Matt Mendel, the bank guy in Casino Royale, who comes in to put your codes. It's like, what is that, a portable bank and a briefcase?
Yeah.
I want that. So that's Mainframe. So I'm going to do that.
That's awesome. I know. I think if I was an action figure, I'd definitely want to be a Jedi, and I would want to come with the lightsaber for sure. But then I'd want to come with like a little frozen frozen pizza that yes. looks whole, but you could cut it with the toy lightsaber.
Yes.
Use your lightsaber to cut the pizza. And then I just, I need the cocktail droid, Lando's cocktail droid in a little space glass for a little space martinis for sure.
That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
How do they make that?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Jennifer, if you were a Star Wars action figure, what Star Wars accessories or real life accessories would you want to come with?
I'd be almost like a doll, right? So I'd be, I'd have the articulated limbs, posable, like posable Barbie. I would have a fashion pack that would come with it. So I would want to have a Canto Bite dress, something with a huge collar, something dramatic. And then, of course, my main accessory would be like some random creature. I don't know. Like my creature that would be my pet.
Yeah.
Preferably one that flies.
Like different,
wings.
Different versions, not even versions, but like you would be packaged with different creatures. So you if you want all the weird creatures that Jennifer comes with, you'd have to buy like 6 different copies of Jennifer Landa.
The Walgreens exclusive comes with a Chihuahua mix.
Or you something. Just change the face like on these Minecraft Legos that my daughter has.
Yeah, yeah,
happy face. Oh, baby face. Oh, sad face.
Baby face.
I want that.
It's a Minecraft babies.
Nice. Okay, well, I have one last fun question that's just for you, Jennifer, because I actually need your take on it. I forgot about it.
Oh.
So, in Rise of Skywalker, right, Palpatine steals the life essence of Rey and Ben to restore his body, but then he also uses their life essence to make himself new robes. Do you consider that a form of crafting?
One of the things I love about crafting is being able to repurpose, recycle, and reuse things. So, yes, it turns out that Palpatine is crafty.
Once more, the Sith will craft the galaxy.
I think he would be very proud of that.
And we shall have an Etsy store.
Oh, my gosh.
So true.
Oh, that's so great.
So funny.
Oh, Ken, do you want to take us home?
I'd love to take us home. This was so much fun. It's Force Center 1000. We couldn't think of a better way to celebrate 1,000 total broadcasts, but sitting down with Jennifer and just catching on up. So we can be found on a lot of different spots on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And we are available on a lot of different spots. Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Now, at the time of this recording, we're finalizing the details, so maybe these are already out, or maybe we'll announce it on the next main show. We have a very special commemorative Force Center 1000 episodes poster designed by the great Brian Ward. I mentioned it up top. It's got Joseph's glorious beard in it. It's going to be available to certain supporters on Patreon. Then we're also going to try to find a way to make it available to other supporters as well. So stay tuned for that. But you can get information through those spots of where you can find us. And again, on Patreon at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at KatNapsuck or go to my website, KatNapsuck.com. Joseph.
Yeah, you can follow me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Talk is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. This has been such a delight to do our 1,000th episode. Wow.
Yes. And then, I'm so happy I get to say this in person. Jen, where can they find and follow you?
Oh my gosh. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Jennifer Landa. Also on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. And I'm also now writing for StarWars.com a little bit more. So go check out their blog for my latest piece. Mm. Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
Absolutely love it. This has been an absolute fun adventure. Man, 1,000 episodes. We could not have done this. Could not get this far without all of you listeners. So, man, we want to thank all of you. Here's to 1,000 more. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.